Dear friends, because of a failure on my part to properly start my recorder, I failed to make a recording of our school assembly talk this morning. I'm trying to do the next best thing, and that is make a recording of me reading the notes that I had prepared for today's study. I trust that it will be of some help. We've come to our sixth study of the little epistle of Jude. We're looking today at the first verses of the epistle, that is verses 2 and 3. Mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. This is likely one of the most contentious and controversial books in the Bible. It's filled with God's condemnation of the deceitfulness of the devil and the sins of mankind throughout the ages, but particularly because of what had broken out in the days of Jude. It is a book which condemns most severely many of the practices which have been embraced and sanctioned by today's society, including many of the churches. You see, there is nothing new under the sun, but there is ever a reviving and a reintroducing and a fresh embracing of the wickednesses that were formerly known amongst the nations. And today there is breaking out amongst us practices that by gospel grace had been subdued and forced to retreat, but now are advancing once again. Notice, first of all, that Jude says, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Now, please notice, boys and girls, there is nothing more merciful, more promoting of peace, and more evident of God's love than to be warned about the consequences of sin. It is essential for us to know what is sin. If we are to experience and enjoy the mercy, peace, and love of God, we must be taught what it is we have to avoid. Romans chapter 3 and also Romans chapter 7, verse 7, tell us that the law is the means by which we gain a knowledge of sin. All of us, and some of you here will remember this, our father and mother, out of love, used to warn us of certain matters. For instance, when we were very tiny, we would have been told, do not go near the fire. Why? Well, because you can get severely burned by the fire, and that will cause you a lot of pain and a lot of suffering, and may even leave you disfigured. And so it is with the dangers we face because of sin. God, in his mercy and in his love, would have us live peaceable lives by avoiding sin. I want you to notice also that the chief reason for the very troubled state of our nation today, and the nations of the world generally, is the ignorance and blindness of society to just what is sin. Now, you boys and girls may not follow the news, but soon you'll be big enough and you will discover that throughout the nations of the earth there is nothing but trouble. And it's trouble that has been generated by an ignorance among the people. They engage in that which is arousing God's wrath and bringing his judgments upon the nations. There is a failure on the part of many pulpits to warn the people of the dangers that they face when they break the law of God. The dangers of God's judgment following upon their rejection of his word. And that explains why today there is great unrest, great suffering, great hardship, and judgments, manifold judgments, falling upon the nations of the earth as they rebel against God in ignorance of his word. Again, it is very necessary for God's servants to plainly set forth the warnings of God's word. Of course, this will not be welcomed by those who see no harm in ungodly practices. Perhaps it's for this reason, indeed, it is most certainly for this reason, that all too many ministers remain silent on these matters, instead of following the example of the Lord Jesus and also the writer of this epistle, Jude, and of the other divinely inspired writers, all of whom warned the nations of the judgments that would follow sin. And today there is a great need amidst all the wickedness of mankind for God's faithful servants to tell them, even as Jude does here, to tell them of what the consequences will be of their defying God. The second point I want to make this morning is this. There are times when the preaching of the common salvation must be set aside and the issue of man's evil rebellion highlighted and dealt with. Jude says, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith." Now, Jude's first intention was to simply expound the common salvation, the ABCs of the gospel. We have the simple doctrines of the gospel set forth in that very well-known verse, John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." That's the ABCs of the gospel. And that is the theme that God's servants are called upon to proclaim. But there are times when that subject must be set aside, and instead, as Jude here indicates, it is necessary to urge Christians to earnestly contend for the faith. Needful is the word that Jude uses. Needful, it's a word actually that is linked to another English word, that of calamity. Calamity. Sometimes, in a case of calamity, there is a setting aside of all other duties in order to attend and help in the midst of that calamity. If we saw, for instance, a neighbor's house on fire, it wouldn't matter what we were doing at that moment. We may have had very necessary and important things to do in our own home, but we would instantly drop everything and run to help our neighbor in the midst of this calamity. And Jude is saying that a calamity needed his attention. It was needful for him to urge Christians to stand up for the truth of the gospel. Now, Christians are required to earnestly contend for the truth in days of apostasy. In the early days of the Second World War, and again previous to that, the First World War, the government issued an urgent appeal to young men to come forward and join the forces. And young men came forward and joined the army, joined the navy, joined the air force. They gave up the jobs that they were doing, the careers they were following. Some left university, some left apprenticeship, some left their farms, and they joined the forces. They left what they normally would be doing because a calamity had broken out and the nation was in danger. Well, that's what's happening here. Christians must earnestly contend because a calamity has broken out. And increasingly, there is a rebellion mustered against God, against His truth, against the Lord Jesus, and it must be resisted. If it is not resisted, then it will sweep all truth away from among men. And that would be an utter, immeasurable disaster. Now, as with all wars, there are difficulties and hardships to be borne by the soldiers. Paul said to Timothy, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. There's more hardship on the battlefield than ever the recruit could imagine when he joins up. I have often watched documentaries on the First and the Second World War and heard the testimonies of soldiers describing the circumstances in which they were forced to live on the battlefield. And such were those circumstances that no one could ever imagine that it would be so. And there are difficulties to be faced if you're going to earnestly contend for the faith. You will meet with opposition, even from those who were your former friends. You will meet with criticism. You will be accused of all sorts of wrongdoings and sins, because as you earnestly contend, you find yourself in a battle and you become the target of enemy missiles. But we are required, if we are to serve God in this evil day, to do it. Now, you are young and you are not yet called upon to earnestly contend for the faith, though there will be times even in your life that you'll have to stand up, maybe a friend, an acquaintance, when you're playing together. It says something that you know is wrong, so you have to say, "No, that is wrong. You can't say that. You shouldn't say that." That's you contending for the faith. But there will come a time when you are an adult, and you will have to enlist in the army of the Lord Jesus and stand up for Him. You'll have to show that you're on the Lord's side in this day of battle. Well, may the Lord bless His word. And we will take up the matter the next time we're with you, for I have had to cut short our study today. I have run out of time. The Lord bless you.